Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. This is part two of our two-part interview with Richard Ferguson. He is the author of the book, Christians Alert, Democrats Are Attacking Our Country, and What Can We Do About It? Now, if you missed yesterday's episode, you need to go back and catch up, because we do not have time to go back and cover all the things we talked about yesterday. But in his book, I'm going to be asking him about the claim he makes and thoroughly lays out in vivid detail about how the Democratic Party is basically conducting an attack from within our nation and on our federal institutions. Now, you need to, listen to the answers he's given to this, because he lays out a case that could be taken to court and you could easily achieve a conviction. Will it matter? Well, fortunately, that is up to you during the next election cycle. But let's jump right back into our interview with Richard Ferguson as he continues to give us the details on his book about Christians Alert. Here's Richard Ferguson. In your book, you make the claim, and I think we've laid out a pretty strong case here as well, that the Democrat Party is basically conducting an attack from within our nation and our federal institutions. And you refer to this as being from a playbook written by Saul Alinsky in the 60s called Rules for Radicals. Could you explain that, please?
Oh, sure. Saul Alinsky, what a beauty that guy was. He was a radical, leftist radical communist that lived around the Berkeley area here in California. The local term is Berserkly, and I think that's descriptive. That's just kind of the way he was. For some reason, there's just certain people that are born that just want to shake things up because they can.
Yeah.
And that seems to be what Saul Alinsky was all about. I mean, I read his book. I can see it. I think I can see it from here on my bookshelf. And what this man has done is, in the book, he talks about, does the end justify the means? Well, he says, absolutely. Why do you even ask? And he talks about specifically, how can someone who wants to shake things up, just to shake things up in a radical manner, how do you do that within the existing structure of the political system that you're dealing with? And he goes into great detail, and he's very practical about things, actually.
Yeah.
He talks about if you want to deal with certain personality types and things of that nature, what types of events should you be holding, and what types of protests should you do, all these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And he traveled the country. He was very famous back in the 1960s. Mm-hmm. And so he wrote this book, Rules for Radicals. And if you want to know what the Democrat Party is up to, get a copy of that book and realize that this is actually their guidebook. This is what they really are doing today on a national scale. Mm-hmm. He talks about, if you want to lie, make sure it's a big one. Well, that's right out of Joseph Goebbels' book. Mm-hmm. Back in the 1930s, during when Hitler's rise to power was occurring. Yeah. Okay, so in some of that stuff's not new if you are fluent in history.
Yeah.
But that being said, Rules for Radicals is really what the Democrat Party has been using as a tool and a guideline for their national political tactics.
Yeah, amen. And the old adage of, if you tell a lie long enough and loud enough, soon people will just start to believe it.
Yeah, and it becomes reality.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Let's talk now about how the Democrats are basically violating all of the constitutional provisions of due process in their quote unquote unofficial official impeachment inquiry. I mean, we've had basically three impeachment processes. Andrew Johnson, who went through the impeachment process, Bill Clinton went through the impeachment process, and Richard Nixon was about to go through it when he resigned. And
you know, the House of Representatives established basically rules for conducting the inquiry, but yet they're not following those precedents this time.
Exactly. Which, by the way, I find to be really hypocritical, because Nancy Pelosi, in 1998, she warned, this is during the Clinton fiasco, she warned against impeachment for political reasons. Well, what do you know? What about that?
Yeah.
And there's a video. I've got a link to the video somewhere in my research archives about her saying exactly that. She looked younger. That's but you know the lies are the same.
Yeah, that's true.
What can you say? But yeah, she says you cannot impeach someone for political reasons. And she was basically saying, how can you dare think about impeaching Bill Clinton just because he lied to Congress? Yeah. Oh, boy, I can't do that. Oh, give me a break. Well, but that's basically it.
Yeah, what they're doing right now is such a serious nature. I mean, the impeachment process is not something, you know, that is supposed to be toyed with, because the Congress is basically overturning the will of the people that was expressed through the election results to remove a sitting president. And, you know, the Congress wanted to make sure that in the prior impeachment processes that all due processes and their procedures were followed. You know, there was a vote to conduct the inquiry on the House floor. The accused has the right to confront the accusers. Witnesses have a right to have a lawyer present. The accused has the right to have counsel present in all deposition hearings. And, you know, they have the right to cross-examine witnesses, the right to call their own witnesses. And the hearings are supposed to be public so people can see what's going on. The Democrats have broken each of those precedents. I mean, they're not even following one of these right now. There's been no House vote on the floor. There's, you know, all the meetings are held in secret. The Republicans can't call any witnesses. The Republicans do not have the right to cross-examine witnesses. The president doesn't have the right to have his attorney present in the deposition hearings. It's just, hey, take our word for it. He's guilty. That's all you're hearing, you know?
Well, yeah, and the reason is the same as the election. They realize that if they abided by the laws of jurisprudence within, you know, the Congress for impeachment, if they abided by the laws, they would lose, and they'd look bad losing in the process. Mm-hmm. They would do that. It's the same thing on the election. They know they would lose the election if they didn't come up with these hoax accusations against Donald Trump. This is their only hope. And again, I get back to the rules of war: fog, smoke, confusion, that kind of thing. Yeah. And the more you can confuse things, the more apt you are to gain votes just from the sheer ignorance of people believing the propaganda that you throw out with gargantuan-sized lies said often enough.
Yeah.
And you're exactly right. That is the sum of their strategy. They have nothing else. They have nothing. And I emphasize this. They have nothing constructive to offer the American people for the betterment of our lives.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, you talk about the rules of war. Another one that, you know, I did almost 13 years in the military. And the other one is tenacity of action. And you see the Democrats following that one, too. They're just tenacious in everything that they're doing, everything they're saying.
Yes.
So that's the other one, too.
Absolutely. It's banging the same drum loud enough, often enough.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah. Amen. Now, during my research on all this, you know, I kept wondering, why doesn't the president, you know, go to the federal court and say, make the Congress stop because they're violating all my, you know, due process laws and all that? And I was wondering why we're not hearing anything about this. And I found an article. It's written by the Constitution Project, and dated October 11th, 2019, just a few weeks ago, that discusses what the roles of each party basically are, you know, the executive branch, the House, the Senate, and the Supreme Court. And the article basically says that the House already has the rules and the rights through the Constitution to do what we're seeing right now. and that the Supreme Court has ruled in past cases, now these were dealing with judges and members of Congress that were being removed from office, that it is the prerogative of the House to act in a way, basically, in summary, to act like a grand jury. And then the article says a grand jury does not have the, you know, they don't give the accused the right to have counsel in a session. It doesn't give the accused the right to confront or cross-examine witnesses. It doesn't give the accused the right to call witnesses. The role of the grand jury is to hear evidence provided by the prosecution and witnesses called by the prosecution, then render an opinion as to whether or not, in the sole discretion of the grand jury members, in this case the House committees, whether the case should be referred for an actual trial. And they referenced some Supreme Court case where that was the actual ruling when this House member had been basically impeached for taking bribes or something like that and was suing in federal court to keep his job or something. And the Supreme Court basically outlined that is the role of the House, to act more or less as a grand jury. So, and they said it's only at the trial, an actual trial, that all the due process laws are put into effect. So in the case of impeachment, the House acts as in the role of the prosecutor, and then the Senate acts as a jury, and the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court acts in the role of the judge. So with all that being said, do you think this is actually going to go into a full-blown impeachment trial for Donald Trump?
Well, I tend to doubt it. I mean, if it does, I'll be surprised because, again, they have nothing to back up what they're saying. If it goes to like the effective functional equivalent of a grand jury, what evidence is there? I mean, they've got a phone call, big deal. And what's interesting to me is they have a transcript, which was released by the White House, of the phone call, word for word. And why is it they came out with an indictment before the transcript came out of the phone call?
Yeah.
We're indicting you because of what you said on the phone call, but we don't know what you said on the phone call, but we're indicting you anyway because of the phone call. Now, that makes no sense to anybody. You don't have to be an attorney to figure that one out. So, I mean, and this just gets back to the same old methodology that Democrats use where the lack of facts never stopped them.
Yeah.
It's just the same old banging the same old drum, like we pointed out earlier in our conversation. It's just banging the same old drum again and again and again. Their playbook hasn't changed. Saul Alinsky, they probably worship him every night when they go home.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, you know, even the president, you know, where's the whistleblower? You know, why isn't he coming? You know, why won't they call him in to testify? And then there was the second whistleblower that was going to confirm what the first whistleblower said. You know, when Trump released the transcript, it basically killed their case right there.
It did. That's the whole thing. It killed their case. That was a master stroke. Oh, you're complaining about the phone call? Well, here it is. Now, that is something that doesn't normally happen.
Yeah.
As I understand, because those conversations between heads of state are very confidential.
Yeah.
But I can only assume that he got permission from the Ukrainian president to do that before he did. But I thank God that he did.
Yeah.
Because now there's the Democrats with their feet. This is a phrase that one of my philosophy professors always loved to say. Well, and you say that with your feet firmly planted in midair. And that's exactly where the Democrats are right now.
Yeah.
They're standing with their feet firmly planted in midair. They really have nothing of substance. Nothing.
Yeah.
But they make a lot of smoke. They make a lot of noise. Yeah. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah. Getting back to the you know, possible impeachment trial, and you know, all it's going to take is for this committee to say, well, we believe there's enough evidence there, so we're going to vote to move it out to the impeachment. It seems to me that the prior ones, especially with Nixon and all that, even Bill Clinton, it was the Judiciary Committee that was doing the investigation. And in this case, it happens to be the Intelligence Committee. You know, you don't hear anything from the Judiciary Committee. You know, so I don't understand how that can, you know, I mean, the judiciary is supposed to be the one who oversees the legalities of things. How can the Intelligence Committee?
It's because Adam Schiff is in charge.
Yeah, yeah. It just doesn't make
fundamentally
sense.
Fundamentally,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Adam Schiff doesn't like Trump very much because he always refers to Adam Schiff as pencil neck Schiff.
I know.
So
Shifty Schiff.
Yes, and Shifty Schiff. I think that has a few things to do with it.
But if it goes to, you know, if and the committee votes and then it goes to the House floor, they got enough members to vote for impeachment. Some people believe that if the impeachment trial were to take place, that is basically dead on arrival in the Senate, you know. But
yeah.
Mitch McConnell has stated that he would probably, if it comes to the Senate, he will probably hold a 5 or 6 week long trial if it gets that far. But it's like, what? How could he do that? You know. But, and I've heard arguments for both sides, but my personal opinion is that the trial would be good if he did this 5-6 week long trial, because the evidence would finally be made public. Because in an impeachment trial, the president and his side would be allowed to call witnesses at that point in time. They can call any witness they want and ask any questions they want. So maybe we could finally get Hillary and Comey and McCabe and others, maybe even Obama, to be called to testify publicly and under oath about their roles in all this. Could you imagine what it would be like if you got Obama up on the stand and he pleaded the Fifth?
Yeah, or I really don't recall that. That's the other thing that'll happen.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. be massive lapses of memory. That'll certainly be the case as well. But we have to be careful of one thing. Richard Nixon always said, "Well, I want to make sure how this plays in Peoria." He always said, "How will it play in Peoria?" In other words, how will this play in the newspapers? That's best back when we had honest newspapers.
Right. Right.
I just be concerned that our newspapers, the media, they will tilt 100% of everything against Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that concerns me. So I just hope that, what am I worried about? God's in control. He'll take care of it somehow.
Yeah. Amen.
But with
Amen.
People like you and me, how can we lose?
Amen. And people praying for the president. Amen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Everybody ought to. I mean, if we're not, we're negligent. We have to. We should.
Yeah, that should be, you know, that's the first thing we're supposed to pray for, according to 1 Timothy, I believe it is. You know, pray for those that are in authority. And
yes.
That's my prayer today. Yeah. Lord, surround him with godly believers who will provide godly advice, that godly decisions can be made so that God's will can be done.
And exactly. Yes, you know, totally agreed.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, hopefully through this process, maybe for the first time, the truth would come out publicly and not be hidden behind closed doors and endless investigations by various, you know, swamp officials in the Justice Department and State Department. I mean, they've been talking about this IG report that's supposed to be released. At first, probably late March, first part of April. Oh, by May. Well, sometime this summer. Here it is, fall, and we still don't have anything, you know. I think, my own personal opinion again, that this trial, if it goes to impeachment trial, I think it'd be good for the country, because it will expose the lack of evidence and that it was just a politically motivated thing. And I could, you know, I don't think it'll last that long, but I could actually, you know, see where they would just go ahead and maybe schedule the hearings to coincide with some major primary, you know, things going on, so that the people from the Senate couldn't leave and go out and do their politicking and campaigning. And stuff,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly. That's what I'm concerned about, is they will manipulate the logistics in such a manner that it'll work against the best interest of the Judeo-Christian believing public and the Republican Party.
Yep, exactly. Amen. Well, Richard, I know this was a long interview, but I think your book and the climate we are in today needed this kind of discussion. And I thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to visit with us today on this important matter. Now, you also have a couple other books due out soon.
Can you mention those
real quick?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I mentioned the story before we got on air when early July, Nancy Pelosi was condemning Donald Trump. Gee, what a surprise. She never does that. But in any event, when he called MS-13 gang members a bunch of animals, and she thought that was terrible. And so she put on her Catholic hat and said, you know, my Catholic religion is very important to me. And these people, these MS-13 gangbangers, they have a spark of God's love in them too. And I thought to myself, you've got to be kidding me. There are 97 verses in the Old and New Testament combined mm-hmm. that talks about Satan's children on earth. And I thought to myself, you got to be kidding me. I can't believe I heard what I just heard. Yeah. And so that irritated me so bad that I went back and I wrote a second book after Christians Alert. And it's called The Children of the Swamp. And it directly addresses the fact that the Democrat Party, they believe that their origins, their root origins, are not God, but rather they're from the evolutionary swamp, hence the name Children of the Swamp. And I talk about the psychology of the Democrat Party, and I talk about how specifically their belief of where their origins come from, how that translates into their political policies of today. Then after that, I wrote a third book of a trilogy. I did plan on doing a trilogy all along after Christians Alert. And the trilogy, I like the number three, by the way. I wonder if that has anything to do with the Trinity. In any event. And then the third book is called Satan, Socialism, and the Democrat Party. And if you analyze the characteristics of Satan as described in the Bible, and you add to that reason, logic, and wisdom to the ideas of what are put forth in both the Old and New Testament regarding Satan. And then if you look at the political platform of the Democrat Party, you put those two columns together side by side, there's amazing parallels between Satan's characteristics and the characteristics of the Democrat Party. And so I wrote a book that revolves around basically that. And in all three books, the first 25 or 30% of the book, I talk about foundational Judeo-Christian spirituality. And that serves as a foundation to contrast what things should be like versus what they really are today with the Democrat Party. So that's the trilogy of books that I've written. And the second book, The Swamp, will be out next month. And then the third book about Satan, Socialism, and the Democrat Party will be out in January.
Amen, amen.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to when they come out because I want to get you back on the program and talk about those books as they're released because I think they're neat.
Oh, I'd love to talk to you.
Amen.
Yeah, very timely, I think. God has good timing, and he's using me to do that, and I'll be happy to. And I've done exactly that.
Amen. How can someone get a copy of your book, Christians Alert? Is it available in bookstores or only online?
Well, it's available in bookstores as well, but you can order it from the publisher, Advantage Books. And the link is ADV, which is Alpha Delta Victor Books. .com, or you can also order it from Amazon. Seems like the whole world could be ordered through Amazon these days.
Just about.
Yeah, you can order me. I don't even know. Maybe I'm there for all I know. Jeez. But in any event, you can order any of my books, including the previous one I mentioned, The Divine Resting on My Shoulder, which talks about the mystical experiences that I had after the one with the jet over the Pacific Ocean.
Amen. Amen. I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. Again, excellent. If someone wanted to get in touch with you, maybe to ask a question or do an interview such as this, you want them to go through your publisher, correct?
Yeah, that's probably the best way to do it. But I'll tell you what, I do have a dedicated email address that I can give you. And if someone wants to get in touch directly with questions or whatnot, I can give it to you. Okay. And it is called Corvette. as in the Chevrolet car. I just happen to love Corvettes, by the way. Yeah, I'm working on my 11th one. So, wow. You know, it's a lifetime passion. Amen. I have the new mid-engine Corvette on order. But in any event, it's Corvette, and then it's 2679@gmail.com.
All right. I'll put that in the show notes as well. Amen.
And feel free to ask me questions. I'm available to people, you know, to Christians if they got questions. I'd be more than happy to answer people's questions.
Amen. Well, Richard, I want to say thank you again for coming on the program today. I do appreciate your time, man.
Well, my pleasure, and it's always wonderful to talk to another Christian that loves God. Amen. How can you go wrong with that?
That's right. Hey, man, you just sit down, and we can talk for hours.
Yes, we can.
Literally, that's why I say, that's why I'm watching the clock, because otherwise we'd be here till like 4 o'clock today.
And we'd enjoy every minute of it,
oh,
too,
yeah,
wouldn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we would. People would be like, golly, but Amen. Amen. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. Now, I want to encourage you to get a copy of Richard Ferguson's book, Christians Alert, The Democrats Are Attacking Our Country. This is an informative book. It's needful in this day and hour in which we find ourselves. This book will shed light on the situation and explain things in a way that's going to give you greater understanding of what you see going on in the news. The topics we discussed today on this program, they're just touching on the depth of discussion Richard Ferguson has put in this book. And with Christmas just around the corner at the time of this recording, I want to encourage you to get 2 or 3 copies of his book. I mean, this book will make a great Christmas gift for someone you know. Just click the link below and it'll take you directly to Amazon. You can order 1, 2, 3 or more. I mean, I'm sure Richard wouldn't mind, right? Amen?
Amen. Amen. Amen again.
Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For Richard Ferguson, myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that we do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.